This is Steve Kraske. This year marks the 20th anniversary of KCUR's Up to Date. 20 years is a long time to host and produce a daily talk show, and our team couldn't do it without KCUR's strong listener support. As a nonprofit news station, KCUR relies on individual donations to make this show. I hope you'll join me in celebrating 20 years of Up to Date by donating today at kcur.org/support. This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. We haven't taken a look at new books in a while. We're going to rectify that now with our book doctors. They have a slew of new books they're eager to talk about, and we're going to get going right now. With us, Corey Smith is the owner of the Black and Brown Bookstore. You can find it at 104.5 West 39th Street. Corey, nice to have you. Welcome.
Wow, Steve. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. Wow.
Great to have you.
So excited to be here.
Steve Paul writes for KC Studio Magazine. He wrote about books for the Kansas City Star, and he's even written them. His latest is Literary Alchemist, The Writing Life of Evan Cannell. And Steve, nice to have you back. Welcome.
Thanks so much, Steve. Glad to be here.
Well, let's dive right in here, Corey. You wanted to begin by talking about a book, Our Gift Grace. Tell us about it.
Oh, yes. So Our Gift Grace is written and authored and illustrated locally. And so the author is an educator here, Dayon Richardson, and then illustrated by a St. Louis illustrator. And it is a book about giving ourselves grace. She talks about in the book that she didn't know what it was like to be a sister, have siblings that looked up to her, what it was to share. And also when we do hard things, sometimes we need to give ourselves grace.
And what a great concept that is. We all could do that a little more often, couldn't we?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Steve, let's come over to you. You want to talk about another local author with a national reputation. That's Candace Millard.
Oh, Candace is such a wonderful writer and has gotten a great reputation for writing a series of books about history, or rather about people in history. And this latest is called River of the Gods. A subtitled Genius, Courage, and Betrayal in the Search of the Source for the Source of the Nile.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fabulous book about a slice of history that we think we might know, but it introduces characters British explorers, Richard Burton and John Speke. And what she brilliantly does is adds a third character who joined some of these journeys into Africa by the name of Sidi Mubarak Bombay, who becomes sort of the ballast for this story and allows her to kind of focus on what the real theme is here, which is European colonialism, imperialism, power, racial strife, and all of that, even as science and this sort of British arrogance to solve a long-standing mystery of where the Nile begins. She really sweeps you, like all of her books. She sweeps you into this with a great sense of story and style, and is getting all sorts of accolades as she tours the country with it.
And who knew that finding the source of this river could be so perilous, so difficult, right?
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Absolutely. Terrific book. We've had her on the show talking about it and couldn't recommend it enough. Let's go to another one here, Corey. The Afro-Minimalist Guide to Living with Less by Christine Platt.
Oh, man. This book is giving me life currently. I am reading this in the spirit of, like, going into a new season and trying to, like, get rid of excess baggage. This book is all about, like, how do we live with less? But she also does a deeper dive into self-discovery. And she talks about where our childhood experiences and our expectations kind of manifest into our adulthood lives. And so she kind of talks about, like, if you are someone who has a lot of things and find it hard to get rid of things, sometimes it's attached to our childhood experiences with ownership and possessions. So
many of my friends are getting rid of their excess stuff, and everyone seems to be going through that right now. It seems maybe it's something that happened during COVID and the aftermath of COVID. People had time on their hands, and they want to just rid themselves of stuff.
Just the season.
And what a great feeling that is once you've done it.
Yeah, look, there is something so like dynamically paired to our like what we own and how much it's an extension of who we are. And then we start to look back and see like, oh, I have 27 pairs of cozy socks. I don't need all these socks.
Don't need all those socks. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't need that.
That's The Afro-Minimalist Guide to Living with Less by Christine Platt, and we'll have a list of all these books up on our website later on today. Steve Paul, let's go to a book that has obviously intrigued me because you wrote about it in KC Studio Magazine and wrote such a great review of this book. It's the late Stanley Crouch, his new collection of his writings, Victory is Assured, Uncollected Writings is what it's titled.
Yeah, Uncollected. These are Stanley Crouch was kind of a very sort of a lightning rod.
Yes, he was
as a cultural critic. He liked to kind of gig people, friends, and scholars, and other writers. He wrote a lot about jazz, and as you well know, some years ago he published what was the first of a planned two-volume biography of Charlie Parker.
Yeah.
And in all the years that he was coming to Kansas City and researching that book and writing that book, he developed this love affair with Kansas City jazz especially, and he writes about that in various ways in this collection of essays. And there's even what appears to be a chapter of the next volume of the unfinished Charlie Parker biography. But Stanley is a totally entertaining to read. He's a fabulous writer. He can tick you off, and that'll happen, and that's good. That means you're awake and you're arguing with him with his points of view on race, on politics, on culture. He loves the movies, and he writes brilliantly about movies, film noir, and other topics. Duke Ellington is his sort of, the supreme god of his jazz universe. And I was just thrilled to be able to take a close look at more of his writing. I was well aware of his work over the years.
Yeah.
And now this new book. It was edited by a someone of a local guy, a guy I know named Glenn Mott, who comes out of St. Joseph, has come to Kansas City over the years. I've gotten to know him in the last, 15 years or so, and he just did a great job of putting this together.
Well, that's the point of these shows, is to alert people to new books. You've alerted me to this one, and it's already on my Amazon list, or I'm going to pick it up here somewhere in town. Really, I'm glad to know about that. Our book doctors are in the house, and we're running through some new titles, some terrific new titles that people might want to get and spend some time with in the weeks and months to come. Our guest, Corey Smith, the owner of the Black and Brown Bookstore, you can find it at 104 and a half West 39th Street. She just ordered the new Stanley Crouch book that our other book doctor was talking about just a few minutes ago. That's Steve Paul, his latest book, Literary Alchemist, The Writing Life of Evan Cannell. Corey, let's come back to you here and talk about a book, The Will to Change Men, Masculinity, and Love. The author is Bell Hooks.
Ooh-wee. I am smiling right now because I am, and Black and Brown is a hard stand for Bell Hooks. She became an ancestor at the end of last year, so she passed in December of last year. But she is such a force because she has always been a voice that leads to intersectional feminism. And she talks about it in such a way that is encouraging, but it's also not only just empowering to women, but it also creates space for men. And so this particular book was centered around men and their experience with masculinity and the ability to love. And so we read this for book club back in June. And a lot of that was focused around like giving men a space to talk about their feelings, talk about their experiences, to also make peace and kind of create a bridge for us as good humans in this world to try to create a space where men can feel present and honored, their voices to be heard and valued, them to be able to have spaces to be soft, but also challenge women to say, we want men to be loving, but we also need to create spaces for them to be loving.
So you began to understand us a little bit better.
You know, we're trying. We're trying to break it down. We're trying.
And it's always a challenge, isn't it? Yeah. That sounds like a really good book, The Will to Change Men, Masculinity, and Love by Bell Hooks.
Yes.
Steve Paul, let's talk about Azabu Getaway.
Steve, you were you wanted to hear about writers and authors you hadn't heard about before,
right.
And Michael Pronko, I'm sure, is on your list and a lot of people's list. Michael, as it happens, comes from Kansas City. I have a very long story, or not a very long, I have a long story about how I met him in Switzerland out of the blue years ago, but I won't tell that story now. I'll just tell you about discovering his a series of mystery novels. Michael lives and teaches American Lit in Tokyo. He's been there for many years. He's written now five police procedural mysteries set in Tokyo, revolving around a detective, Hiroshi, the detective who happens to specialize in financial crimes, investigating financial crimes, but there's always a murder nearby. And this new book, which is just its official publication date is this week, actually. I'm well into it now. Begins with two murders, and one in a fancy apartment in the Azabu district of Tokyo. The other in a corporate headquarters, happens to be a Chinese corporation, murders in each place, which, aha, all of a sudden become related. And so there's a real threading of complicated stories, and it's another really fast pace. You get a sense for Japanese culture, food, people, tradition, behavior, outlook. And these books are just really wonderful.
Wow.
So I'm pulling for the series and hope we can get a little wider readership for Michael and his Detective Hiroshi novels.
That's Michael Pronko, Azabu Getaway, a recommendation from Steve Paul. Corey Smith, we're back to you here. Let's talk about Blindsided, Essays from the Only Black Woman in the Room, the author Dawn Downey.
So Miss Dawn, she's local. She has been writing for a while, but this one in particular was such a great find. They are short essays, and I know as we come out of pandemic, our attention spans are not quite there.
Yeah.
And so this was a really good read. It's refreshing. It is based around Miss Dawn's experiences as oftentimes the only black woman in a room full of white people. And so spaces where she just does not often see herself, or she is now like recognizing some of these microaggressions that exist, and just kind of giving her perspective on that. So something as simple as like ordering a pie at a diner, and like getting it and being so dissatisfied with the state in which it was delivered to her.
Okay.
And then asking the question, was it because I am a black woman in a white space, or is it because someone just simply did not care? So,
Again, the author, Dawn Downey, the book Blindsided, Essays from the Only Black Woman in the Room. Steve Paul, let's go to one of the best-known authors we'll talk about today, Colson Whitehead, his book Harlem Shuffle.
Yeah, oh, man, what a great read this book was. Novel, actually, you know, it gets a little awkward when I say I've read a book when I actually listen to it. I happen to consume this book as an audio book, and had the pleasure of seeing Colson Whitehead back last spring when he was in Lawrence for a book festival. Anyway, Whitehead's previous book, The Nickel Boys, was a devastating short novel.
Yeah,
what a great!
Mm-hmm.
And this new novel, or most recent novel, Harlem Shuffle, is kind of a crime story. It's not a detective type story. It's more of a literary crime story, and it made me. It put me in mind of some of those great black movies of the early 70s, especially Cotton Comes to Harlem. It has that kind of slice of life. It centers around a guy who owns a furniture store and gets involved in and knows many risky businesses who are revolving around his store, his business, the people around him, family. real estate development schemes and all sorts of things happen in this book. And what we learned when we heard him in Lawrence last spring was that his next book will be a kind of a sequel to Harlem Shuffle. Huh. There's a sense of news in it. There was a riot in Harlem following a police killing of a black teenager in Manhattan. And so there's some topicality.
That's Colson Whitehead, the book again, Harlem Shuffle. We're talking with our book doctors about some fascinating new books. The book doctors in the house today, Corey Smith, owner of the Black and Brown Bookstore, Steve Paul, my longtime colleague at the Kansas City Star. Corey, let's move on to Arsenic and Adobo by Mia P. Manansala.
Yes. Okay, so the way that I make noises about good books is the way that I make noises about good food. And so this one literally pairs both of those experiences. So this is a trilogy, but they are cozy mysteries, which I just stumbled upon as like a genre. But it's usually like some pairing of like lots of food culture and then a whodunit. And so this book particularly is about a Filipino family who owns a restaurant, and there is a murder that happens in this small town, and all the signs kind of point towards our main character. And so in order to save her family's restaurant, she has to figure out who has did the things. But along the way, we just get such good language around good food, and it just feels like it pays homage to a different culture, and it feels very authentic, I would assume and hope, to the culture of living or having a small business, working in food, and then working in food that is also your heritage. So
sounds wonderful. That's Arsenic and Adobo by Mia P. Manansala.
Okay. And there's recipes in the book.
Recipes in the book, too. That's a complete book then, isn't
it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Steve Paul, let's come back to you. A fiction book here. Tori Peters, the new book, Detransition Baby.
Yeah, well, wow. This is a book would not necessarily have been on my radar, but last spring it won the Penn Hemingway Award for her first novel. And I got a chance to interview Tori Peters and publish a piece about her and this book. As the title says, there is a detransition. This is a book about a novel about gender fluidity. It's set in New York. There is a couple, a trans couple, one of whom is detransitioning to male personhood from where he began. And the male person meets and works for a single white woman, or I'm sorry, single straight woman in a company, in a marketing company in New York. They have a fling. She ends up pregnant. And there's a proposal the thing that this book, the novel, the story revolves around is whether or not the male character will be able to convince both of the women in his life to co-mother the baby. So it's very complicated. It's very fascinating. It opens a window to cultural aspects of New York that will feel really authentic. There is a lot of heart in this book, and you'll find yourself very emotionally engaged often. So
the author is Tori Peters, the book Detransition Baby. Corey, let's go to Bloodchild by Octavia Butler.
Yes. Okay. So this is the perfect book for anyone who loves sci-fi, anyone who loves short stories, and anyone who loves Octavia Butler. And then if you are not in those categories, anyone who wants to join the ranks. So this is a really good introduction for people who are wanting to get into sci-fi and understand who Octavia Butler was, because she was a magician with words. Okay. So this book just has a collection of essays ranging from aliens to dystopian universes to even like a question, if we got to play God, what would be the thing that we would fix and disregard all the consequences? So she just poses all these very, very deep questions, and then she gives like a little afterword. So if you're anything like me, who is sci-fi is not my jam, like she breaks it down in a way that you understand it, and then she gets to play with just these narratives, and she's a scholar, so it just, it's the perfect marriage between like fantasy but also Handmaid's Tale.
That sounds great. Again, that book is Bloodchild by Octavia Butler. Steve Paul, let's go to Gary Snyder's collected poems.
Yeah, before I do that, I hope you'll mind a little unexpected intervention here, because I wanted to refer back to Corey's taste for books about food. And I just wanted to mention my friend Tom Averill's novel called Secrets of the Till Cafe, T-S-I-L, which is set in Kansas City. It's set in a restaurant, a family-owned Mexican restaurant on 39th Street. Hmm. And I think she would really love it and would want to add it to it. It also has recipes. But anyway, that was a quick one. Also, Corey's point about when she was talking about minimizing your life. At home, I have a large shelf of books by the poet Gary Snyder. Must be 20 books in there.
Wow.
Just a month or so ago, the Library of America published his collected poems, and all of those books are now appear in this one kind of thick volume. But am I going to get rid of those other books that I have? No, I can't possibly get rid of books. Who would do that? But anyway, Gary Snyder is a national treasure as a poet. He's still alive at 95.
Wow.
Out in Northern California. He's a voice of the world and the wilderness. He's been writing about landscape and Zen Buddhism and American culture and Japanese culture and the kind of our lives. Wow. For the last 70 years. And I've loved his work over all those years. And now a chance to get back to, you know, his lifelong project was kind of a book. One of his last books was called most recent book was called The Mountains and Rivers Without End. And that's kind of how you approach his whole life, touching on rivers, touching on life forces, climbing mountains. He's observant and wise and really important.
That book, again, Gary Snyder, Collected Poems, a recommendation from Steve Paul. This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. We're talking good books this morning with Corey Smith. She owns the Black and Brown Bookstore. You'll find it at 104.5 West 39th Street. Steve Paul's back with us again. He writes for KC Studio Magazine. We're talking good books, interesting reads, and Corey's got another one here, Scenes from My Life by Michael K. Williams.
Oof. Okay, so I just finished this book. It is a memoir. It just recently released this month or this past month. But it is such a vulnerable retelling from the voice of Michael K. Williams, who is an Emmy nominated actor.
Absolutely.
You could see him in Lovecraft Country. He was in The Wire. He was in Boardwalk Empire. But he is an actor that has been around, and he has been able to assume such amazing and commanding roles on screen. And he also has been very vulnerable about his battles with addiction. And so he tells a lot about his story, where it began, how he's dealt with it all of his life, even through some of his biggest roles, and arguably the humanity that he has fostered through that experience, and what did it look like when it impacted his activism. And so it was just really, really great. And it's also something that it's needing to be talked about, because we do not consider Michael K. Williams a queer actor, but we are able to see past his sexual identity and just be fans of his work. And I've always just thought that was so incredible, to see a Black man who was queer and unapologetically that be unquestioned.
The book, again, Scenes from My Life by Michael K. Williams. Steve Paul, chime in here with a book from Douglas Peacock. Was it worth it?
Yeah. In the spirit of Gary Snyder's writings about the planet Earth, Doug Peacock is a very valuable voice for the wilderness. He has been studying grizzly bears for the last 50 years or so. Doug became famous as a Vietnam vet with PTSD, and he started roaming, hiking by himself throughout the desert Southwest. He became famous when Edward Abbey, the great writer of the Southwest, wrote his big novel, the Monkey Wrench Gang, about eco-activism, and Doug was the model for the main character of that book, George Washington Hayduke. Anyway, this new book, most recent book came out this summer, is a collection of essays kind of trying to sum up where he's been and where he is now and where the grizzly bears are. He hikes through Mexico. He hikes and goes on a an exploration trip with the likes of Tom Brokaw into the backwoods of Alaska. Anyway, it's a wonderful read if you like travel writing, if you like nature, if you like you know, standing up for the planet.
You know, I like all those things. I think you've sold me. Douglas Peacock, was it worth it? Yeah, great recommendation. Thanks. Okay, Corey, let's go to All Boys Aren't Blue, the author George M. Johnson.
Yes, I would be so remiss not to include some books, especially since September is a month where we like to celebrate banned books. Banned Book Week is September 18th through the 24th this year. And so All Boys Aren't Blue is a book that has been challenged. It's in the top 10 list of most challenged books from 2021. And it is a part manifesto, part memoir written for young adult readers. And so it has been challenged highly due to it being cited as being sexually explicit, conversations around queerness, and a lot of other just violence and things like that. But the story itself is a memoir in part for George Johnson's experience as a black queer man who is more feminine and trying to figure out what his identity is. And so he plays around from, oh, I'm feminine, so I must want to be in a girl's body, to, oh, I don't. I just have feminine traits. I like to play football, but I also like to do double dutch. And so he talks a lot about duality and his experiences as such, and especially as a black queer man. He's just talking about how, where he found his support, where did he find community. In college, he joined a Greek fraternity and found brotherhood in a place that he didn't necessarily think he could find that. And so it's been banned for a lot of those conversations. But the point of the book is to say that we are who we are supposed to be. And all boxes don't mean we should exist just in a box. We can be feminine and masculine. We can be sporty. And also, you know, there's duality in all the things that we do.
That book, again, All Boys Aren't Blue, it's gotten a lot of attention. The author, again, George M. Johnson. Okay, Steve Paul, let's go to Ada Calhoun, also a poet, Frank O'Hara, My Father and Me. The author, again, Ada Calhoun.
Yeah, just a quick hit on this one. Very literary, very entertaining read. Ada Calhoun is the daughter of the New Yorker's art critic, Peter Sheldahl, who set out in the 70s to write a biography of the poet Frank O'Hara. He was stopped in his tracks by a family member who wouldn't give him access. He set it all aside. He and his wife suffered a house fire in their apartment in New York. But one day, Ada, rooting around the basement of the building, finds boxes of his interviews for that biography and thinks that she can pick it up and finish the book. Well, she tries to do that, and the story of this quickly becomes a story of her family, her relationship with her father. Certainly, there's a lot of interesting stuff about New York artists and the literati of the 60s and 70s,
right,
especially. And she, I won't tell you how it turns out, but she ended up with this really readable memoir.
Well, what a great list of interesting books. I've been jotting down several that are interesting to me, and Corey's going to get them for me at the Black and Brown Bookstore. Corey Smith, what a delight to have you here. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Steve Paul, again, my longtime colleague at the Star. Steve, always great to have you here. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me again.
Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.